Welcome to the world of the strange, the mystical, and the unknown. Jerry Pippin's Parazone.
Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the Flamingo Hotel and Casino on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin, Nevada. Our next guest is a man who speaks to those who have passed away, those on the other side. A.J. Barrera, some call him a psychic. A.J., I've heard you referred to something a little different. I like it. It's called A.J. Barrera, Soul Communicator. It has a nice ring to it. Welcome to our show, and by the way, thanks for driving over from California to do it here in Laughlin.
Oh, not a problem.
I've been looking at your website, ajbarrera.com. You know, we have a link to it on this page. On that website, you have some pretty interesting things, AJ.
Thank you. It's been actually been redeveloped and reworked on for a while, so it's been under progress for a while.
Well, AJ, first of all, I think to acquaint the audience with what you do and why you're here, I know, for instance, that you're a medium and you hold seminars. Now, what happens at these seminars? I mean, what do you do exactly?
Actually, well, what I do at these seminars is actually I'm a medium, more so a spiritual medium, and so I connect people in the audience, members who start sitting down, people sit in the chairs or sit in a circle or whatnot, and there's are times where I connect them with their loved ones who are on the other side, and you know, with the family or friends who have passed over, and give them validations, not just the fact of, you know, they're passed over and they love you and they miss you, not just that. My main thing is about giving out the roots and coming across as a skeptic, and more so as proven it, giving the evidential proof as that names, initials, the existence of their passing, for instance, not just a payphone.
When did you first realize that you had the ability to talk to people on the other side? I mean, when did this develop, when this ability, this talent?
That's a great question. You know, it started when I was in sixth grade, was when I was fascinated with the work. I actually started working with a deck of tarot cards for about 3 years, from sixth grade to eighth grade, and started working on that for about those 3 years. And after that, I really found out about when I was a freshman in high school, when I was about 14, 15 years old, when I was in that grade field, and I ran to a teacher who had no idea who I was, and I didn't know who she was.
I mean, you're still fairly young.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what happened is, when we first met, she told me some information. She told me, read me. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, yeah, read me. And I did not know I had the ability to connect with the other side. I just knew I was able to connect with tarot cards, crystal balls, and things of that nature. And so when she taught me how to connect with the energy, show me how to feel energy and sense it, that's when I finally realized, and as a freshman, 15 years old, oh my God, I had this ability to connect with the other side. And to me, I thought it was normal. I thought everyone had this ability.
Yeah, and I know. You probably thought it more or less normal. But you really hadn't used this talent, probably.
Exactly.
Now, I've always wondered about teenage psychics. Correct me now if I'm wrong, AJ, but it seems to be a great way to get dates.
A lot of people say that, you would not believe. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's just people kind of think like, hey, I can tell you your future, you know. Hey, you know. So I always tell people, you know, when I'm up there lecturing or doing demonstrations or even a show, you know, I like to put a sense of humor in it, because you can't talk about death for 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, the people are going to be depressed. You have to put some jokes in it and make it laughter. So.
Well, now you brought up an interesting subject. I want to ask you, what do you think? I mean, how do you feel about the other side? I mean, people on the other side, are they just hanging around like angels or what? Are they doing what they've always wanted to do? I mean, what is it like over there?
You know, my personal belief is that I believe that we create these places of heaven and hell, and also the other side. I believe, coming from the Catholic point of view, is that we go to one heaven, one hell on a judgment day as a Catholic. But coming from my spirituality, I tell people, you know, we just go to the other side, because I do believe there's just the other side. And
in other words, it's not up there. It's probably in another dimension.
Absolutely. And that's the best way of putting it, because I do believe there's dimensions, that we have several dimensions. And I tell people, it's almost as galaxies, for instance. We have galaxies beyond galaxies. And how can you not think that we're not alone on this physical plane? You know what I mean? There's so much beyond that point. I tell people, we have to kind of be jealous or kind of like envy of ourselves to kind of think that we're the only ones here.
Now, you meet these people in this other place, this other dimension, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
this other altered state.
Exactly.
Some of them want to come back.
there are people that are crossed over for a period of time that are just crossed over, and they make the transition over there to the other side. And there's about seven different levels, which is the astral, the mental, the physical, and I forgot the other three at the point right now. But and the ethical, and I also forgot the other two, but there's also two points.
So the idea is, just like we've always heard, the idea is they work themselves up to the next level?
Exactly, and they work their way all the way up. But when their spirit, what happens is they're not just stuck here on the physical plane. They can come back anytime they want to, but there's times that we are stuck. There are spirits that are stuck here, if you will, that are called earthbounds, where they had a tragic passing, a suicide, something of that nature, and they just need to see the light to get out to the other side and make the transition. Because there could be a person, that it could even be you. You can be in your home sitting down, all of a sudden you sense something, all of a sudden you see this energy, when you're wondering why the heck they're coming to you, because you're sensitive. They see the light to you, so that's one reason why they come to you. Because they know that you can transition them over to the other side.
Now, are we talking about all of us here in this world, like me, for instance, or Jim Smith over there, our producer? Does he have certain, people over there on the other side looking after him?
Absolutely. I think we all do. You know, people have a myth.
So we're talking about kind of a guardian angel, at least this type of thing.
They are kind of a... angels, if you will, or not really angels, but they're kind of just guidance over there. We do have guardian angels, and we do have spirit guides, and then we have our loved ones that are just watching over us, giving us guidance.
So, what are you saying? When something bad happens to us, they're just not there, that they took the day off or something?
They are there, but we have angels. And, I believe that it's created from God, and, that's one reason why a lot of people have these testimonials or miracles, and I even have them myself, and several testimonials I get from people over the internet and emails that, I had this lady come up to me, or this guy come up to me, and they helped me. I never got to see the face because God created these creatures, these people, and that's one reason why they don't have these faces on them a lot of time.
We're talking about the other side. Does evil lurk over there?
I do not believe in evil. I think we create evil. I think that evil is something that we, that feeds off it. Evilness feeds off it. So we create the word fear as well. So I don't believe in evil at all whatsoever.
So what you're saying is that somebody's not, well, let's say he's not a good boy here. When they get over there, they just don't do bad anymore?
They go through a series of lessons on the other side. So what happens is, that's a funny thing, because I actually did a conversation with this about 2 days ago about crimes and people who had done suicides and murders and stuff. What happens is, when they do this, all these murders and stuff on this physical plane, they have to make the transition to the other side. And what happens is that this spirit or this energy keeps on dwelling on their self and keeps on penetrating and keeps on having this thing, which we all have as ego, that this energy keeps on going on their ego saying, I killed this person, I've done this, I've done that. What happens is, it doesn't give the energy, the spiritual growth that it needs to make its transition to learn its lessons on the other side. So what happens if that energy will fully let that ego go and understand that, okay, I've done this killing, I understand that, then it'll do the levels of growing on the other side of the levels that we mentioned earlier.
AJ, the thing on television now, psychic detectives, in fact, I guess that's pretty common now. Have you ever thought about getting involved, becoming a psychic detective for the police department?
Yeah, actually working on two cases right now. Yeah, one in California. I'm doing one out in Sacramento as well. So,
it seems to me if I were a victim of a violent crime and I'd come back, I don't know that I'd be very polite about it. I mean, it just seems to me like most clues you get are kind of, disguised.
With me, not necessarily, because, like I said, I come across as a skeptic, so my main thing is coming about as precise, as specifics. Like, I can't really say much about the case that I was working on, but what happened is that there was information that the police didn't even have, or the family didn't even know, and they had suspicion about it, gave the names of the people, gave the location, even gave the facial features and the tattoos and markings that the person had on them. And believe it or not, another psychic before them told them the same thing as about one of the suspects, the main suspect that was involved with it.
Here, I have something I want to ask you. About violent happenings. We have violence, of course, in this world. How about over there? Anything happen to people on the other side in the supernatural? Are there other forces out there?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much more out there that we don't know. We fear of this unknown factor. And I think that, we take in this evil factor, if you will, and I think that God or that our spirits or our loved ones are here to curse us or give us doom, and they're not here to do that. What happens is there are supernatural. For instance, there's a thing called channeling, transfiguration. What happens, you're letting the spirit walk into you, and it's a process that a medium or psychic goes into a trance, and basically your face shape shifts or you start channeling the spirit, and that's basically like an evil, if you will, quote unquote, and that's what happens. It can take over, it can drain you, and you cannot get out. You can get out of the body. There's myths and stories that, some psychics say you can't get out of your body, it's a bad thing, but you can get out of your body yourself, but it's just very painful. It's almost as a sharp feeling.
When we talk about being a medium and doing what you do, the first thing that comes to my mind is ghost. Have you ever dealt with ghosts?
Ghost, yes. Oh, absolutely. So has my family. My family has dealt with a lot of things, especially Tony. Tony has dealt with a lot of stuff as well.
Have you ever been scared yourself?
I think only one time, and I think that's when I was channeling, doing transfiguration. I think that's the only time, and I was really young. I mean, even though I know I am young now.
I guess, compared to me, everybody is young.
I tell people, I finally became used to it, but it was like almost like 4 years ago when I had this incident where...
What was it?
It was basically like an entity coming into me. I did not ground myself. I did not eat. I thought it was a game, what I was doing. I was with a couple other mediums and also a healer. And so what happened is basically we were doing table tipping. The table was tipping. I did not believe in that stuff as well. So what happened is I actually saw the table rock and all of a sudden started levitating and started folding up. So the table started pushing the lady forward over that way, and basically you actually saw red in her eyes, and basically it started coming to me, and dark as I am, you know, I literally turned white and pale, and basically people were, you know, like the mediums over there, and people were afraid for me, you know, because basically I had this evil, I wasn't grounded or anything.
And you felt it enter into your body?
Oh yeah, I was so drained, and what happened is I did not do psychic circles, development circles for a period of time. It put me on check, basically. It put me on a reality check for, you know, it's not a game. Make sure you learn how to ground stuff. Make sure you learn how to do what you have to do in this work because it's not a game.
Why do you think that you have this gift and I don't, for instance?
You know, I absolutely think that everyone has a gift to tap into their own inner strengths. I think everyone has some sort of degree of psychic and mediumship ability.
No, sometimes I know we can feel things that are happening far away from us. I mean, we can even fall in love with somebody somewhere way far from us on the other side of the continent, around halfway around the world. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a soul-to-soul connection. And I think with that, I mean, we all have this ability, and I think that when we tune into this inner strength, or, you know, this gut feeling, if you will, that's a clairsentience feeling that you're picking up. It's that gut feeling. Then you have the clairvoyance, where you see, sense a lot of things, and clairaudience, where you hear all this. So I tell people, if you just pay attention to the little signs and signals, you'll know what's happening, what's going around.
How do you refer to yourself? Clairvoyant? Psychic? What?
I actually see, that would probably be a clairvoyant psychic, a spiritual psychic rather than a physical medium, or a physical psychic, if you will. And what happens is I'm more so spiritual because I really connect with spirits more so than psychic information, but I do psychic readings as well. But as a physical medium, I am clairvoyance first, where I see the information, like a movie being played in my head. Then secondly, I sense the information of how the person passed away.
Do you still use the tarot cards?
Tarot cards, not anymore. Not anymore.
So you actually kind of feel you outgrew them?
You basically took the word out of my mouth. I feel like I outgrew it. It was almost like child's play for me, honestly. It was almost as I got too bored, but I was too personal sometimes. And I can literally be sitting down on the table and flipping out the cards, and people would be flipping out, and I'll be like flipping over the cards and blowing the people's minds away. So I learned how to, you know, just move on into a higher development of mediumship now. And now that I do the work that I do now, it's just has blown me away, and has opened up so many doors for me.
When is your next seminar?
My next seminar is actually March 24th, which is a Friday, at the Bodhi Tree in Hollywood. And it's a Bodhi Tree Annex out there. And it's for a demonstration on spirit communication. I'll be connecting people with loved ones. Everything's on the website.
Hold on, AJ. We need to take a break. When we come back, I'll be talking to AJ Barrera about some very interesting things connected with his conversations with the dead, ex-wives, pets. How do we deal with those things on the other side? Don't go away.
Step into a modern-day time machine and revisit the UFO phenomena of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Saturday, April 29th, it all comes together in the high desert of Southern California. The Retro UFO Spaceship Convention at the world-famous Integratron. Tours of the giant rock and the Integratron, plus lots of other great events, including a speaker lineup of UFO researchers who will unveil many amazing facts about this time period and the reported visits to Earth by the space people. View a video of the original spacecraft conventions. Food, fun, vendor areas, art exhibits, car club exhibitions, space walks, live bands, and much, much more. Hurry, space is limited, so make your reservations now. Click on the banner on this page, and we'll see you at the space convention.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show from the Flamingo in Laughlin, Nevada. Our guest is A.J. Barrera, an internationally known medium who says he talks to people who have passed away. And we're going to try to find out how they are on the other side, as they say. In fact, we want to talk to A.J. in detail about that. See if they've told him anything specific. Very interesting program here, AJ, so let's get back to the subject at hand. Does anything stand out in your mind connecting everyone, you know, that they've had loved ones that they lose, from parents to children to girlfriends to wives?
To animals, dogs, cats, you name it.
You mentioned dogs. You know, there seems to be a bond between a human and a dog. My dog is very special to me. I've had several dogs in my life. They've all been special to me. I mean, people really seem to get attached to their pets. Now, when a dog dies, what happens to that dog, for instance?
I you know, people, you know, when I was younger, my parents always used to tell me they're an animal heaven, they're an animal heaven. And, you know, I always believed that for the longest time, and all of a sudden I started seeing dogs running around inside the house that I have now. You know, I used to live with my parents, and then I moved out, and now I see a dog running around. And I was younger, I used to see these spirit animals running around. And so I go, okay, what happens? And all of a sudden I see this lady standing there petting the dog. So I figure the dog is with them on the side. So over the course of the time doing this work for almost the course of 9 years now, I finally realized that there's really no doggy heaven, no animal heaven, that there was one big circle of energy, dogs, cats, animals, you name it. There's everything over there.
You know, I've always felt that probably we have this basic makings of the same soul, human beings and animals, and we just don't really understand the transformation. So AJ, I have a question for you. A guy has three wives and they all die, or a guy has four or five dogs in a lifetime. Now, how are they all going to be happy together there on the other side? Or are they all going to be on the other side together? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It seems to me that there would be some jealousy.
Exactly. You know, that's, you know, I was doing a seminar out in Anaheim, and that you just brought up something, a funny story. What happened is this lady was married almost about six times, and basically all her husbands came through except for one of them who was still living. And she goes, so who do I meet over first? I go, all of them. She looked great. That's going to be fun. And so, because it's the same way, it's like you have all the husbands there. It's like, what's going to happen? You know, who do you meet up first? Which one's a favorite? Even the one's jealous, or one's this way, or one's that way. So I do think we all work on the other side. We all meet each other on the side, marriage or non-marriage or whatnot, whatever the situation.
Now, in your concentration vibes, you know, whatever you want to call it, you haven't heard these people having domestic arguments or anything like that, have you? I mean, from what I understand, it seems like everybody gets along over there.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I hope not, at least. Yeah, because I learned from doing this work, there's no judgment on the other side. I really don't feel like they really judge us. You know, a lot of my clients come to me for seeking... I guess what did you say, sorrow for hearing the I'm sorry's, either I could have been there more, could I help them out more, and I tell people there's really no way of leaking to that information. They're not really worried about, you know, I'm sorry, you didn't do this, or they kind of wonder, did I do your funeral correctly, and they kind of want to wonder about those things. I tell them, they're happy what you guys do, they don't really matter, it's just they're partying on the side, they love to drink here on this physical plane, they're drinking on the other side, partying around on the other side, so I tell people it's just one big family reunion over there.
I take it you believe in reincarnation?
That's actually a hard thing I had to deal with, believe it or not. I'm actually not all there with reincarnation.
No, I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to take in, honestly.
Sometimes I think it's really just wishful thinking.
Yeah, that's what I would say sometimes, honestly. But
so basically, the next dimension, or whatever you want to call it, will be better than what we know here. There's no doubt in your mind about that.
I agree with you.
So when you're talking about reincarnation, we are all kind of limiting ourselves in that we always have to come back to this body and this earth. I'm not even sure if that should be desirable.
Exactly. Because I think we have our own imagination, what we want to create. Like I said, we create these places of reincarnation, heaven and hell and whatnot, even the other side. And people always ask me, do you know what heaven looks like? I go, no, because I've never been there. I can tell you what my heaven looks like, but I cannot tell you what your heaven looks like, because we create these places, and people have these images of hell, the same thing.
You know, when I interview people in your field, I always listen to them and tell them the same thing, and that is that they talk about this wonderful, peaceful place on the other side, and frankly, I don't think I'd be very happy just sitting in a park listening to the birds all day, every day. Day after day. I mean, there has to be more to it.
I agree with you. I agree. Yeah, there's something more going on, exactly. You can't be here, you know, sitting around in a park, you know, watching everyone else and listening to the birds. I always, like I said, I'm open-minded to everything, but, you know, I always tell people, you know, like the Buddhists, they believe in reincarnation. You die, you turn into a butterfly, you turn into this, and all, you're an ancestor now, and da-da-da. So I tell people, you know, you have to have, I come across with an open-minded, not as, I don't want downfall anyone's opinion, but I just think that, you know, from my point of view, I don't want to say, well, it's not real or anything of that nature. I just said I'm very open-minded about this work, though, about reincarnation.
Okay, we know you do seminars. How about performances? You know what I'm talking about.
Correct. I do a lot of performances, a lot of private readings.
Do people blindfold you and you guess what they're holding in their hands and things like that?
Well, not yet. Anyways, what happens is basically there'll be crowds, at least maybe 100, 150 people sitting in the audience, and what happens, I don't know anyone which you would know, and what happens is I would go up on stage, and what happens is I start connecting with my energy, my chakras, which is my solar plexus, and I start connecting to there wherever I get pulled to in the audience. I could be from the fifth person in the row, from the very last row of the room, and I go third seat in, and I was just being pulled to there. So I basically connect people to there. I don't just say, I'm coming this side of the room, I'm connecting with someone. You know, I don't point my finger, because I actually get directly pulled to the person and say, well, I got mom here, I got dad, or I got sister, and I start connecting them with that information, because like I said, my message is about giving specifics, not just downfalling the information, feeding off someone's information. So someone goes, is your mother passed away? They may go, yes, and all of a sudden, well, how did she pass away again? Or, you know, they might slip out the information. So my main thing is about giving that specific information. So,
what's next for the career of A.J. Barrera?
You know, I actually wanted to work in the police field, law enforcement, firefighter. You know, so I kind of want to fall into detective, as a psychic detective, if you will. But I actually look into detective and law enforcement field, because I always found a passion for that. But, you know, my brother's kind of going into that field, so I don't want to follow his path, if you will. So I actually started looking into fire science degree as a firefighter. So I love helping out people, and I figure, you know, I'm still doing this work helping out people, and I'm still doing that work in the physical plane helping out people.
Now, you have information on your website about all your seminars and how they can see you and where.
Yeah, everything's there. You just click on events, and you can log on to everything there.
So you actually suddenly became aware of all this at the age of 14 or 15. So in summary, you had a gift more than normal teenagers, and you finally realized it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always tell people, you know, people, or even people, you know, when I'm doing seminars and stuff, they ask me, so what was your childhood life, or what was your high school or junior high like? I tell people, you know what, that's a great question. And I always joke around people, you know, I was that kid in the corner that spoke to the tree and the wind was the best friend, you know, and I tell, and people kind of laugh about that, because I tell people, you know, I did have a normal life, but, you know, I just saw a lot of things, I felt a lot of things, but I wasn't unaware of it. I thought everyone had this ability. So I tell people, you know, it was very unique to have this ability, and very unique at a young age to discover and help people what I was doing at such a young age as well.
You know, as a teenager, I don't know, I can identify with that, because really, I've really never grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you?
Mm-hmm.
And you say that I have that that ability, that psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how to use it. You know, one of the things I would think about is, as a teenage psychic, hear me out on this. I mean, you get a date with a very special girl. And I couldn't resist this. You'd take her out for dinner, she'd look at the menu, and you'd say, here, let me order for you, and you'd order what she's thinking.
I've done that before. Yeah, I've done that with a couple of my friends. We'll be there, or for instance, we'll be thinking something, and also we'll look at the menu. What about this? We point out the same thing on the menu. So what happens is that we do tap into that that inner strength, if you will, and I believe that the paranormal as well as...
So in other words, your life is enjoyable, and you have fun with your work and your talent.
Absolutely. You can't abuse it. I always tell people you can't abuse it. As long as you enjoy in life and know that you're using it for great use and not abusing it for whatever, for money or for popular gain or something.
Hey, we're running out of time here, but is there something else that you need to bring out you know, in this conversation?
Not that I know of yet.
Then we've done okay.
Yeah, I think it's just the website is just...
Maybe you can give me a number. How many dead people have you talked to over the years?
Numbers, thousands. Thousands, too many.
And what do you hear from them? I mean, literally, is it something in the mind or is it a voice? Is it your voice inside your head?
It's more so in the mind. I always tell people it's almost as a word in my head that I hear as thoughts inside my head rather than a big old voice. Correct. I'm not going to hear this big old voice from above.
And how about people who have died violently compared to people who, you know, have passed away naturally? Is there a difference in their attitude?
Oh, you know, attitude-wise, energy-wise, yes, because, like I said, some of them are stuck here because they died tragically. Those ones that pass peacefully, they cross over.
Those that become ghosts, I guess.
Exactly. Ghosts are basically earthbound, stuck here, and then spirits are the ones that make the transition safely to the other side.
Now, I have a good psychic friend in Dallas, and we've done shows together on ghosts, and she really doesn't like going around the cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other people I have interviewed, other psychics that I've talked to, that doesn't seem to bother them at all.
Doesn't bother me either. Yeah, I love it. You know, I love taking pictures there, catching orbs.
It looks to me that perhaps when you go to a cemetery, you not only, you know, get to read the tombstones, but you as a psychic tuned into that sort of thing, you probably get certain feelings about certain graves.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was in Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and I was doing an event there. Well, I wasn't doing an event. I went there for, it's called the Day of the Dead event that they bring up. And they have this big old event, you know, celebrating their loved ones and stuff, making altars and things of that nature. So what happened is I went there and started taking pictures there at night as I was going home, walking to the cemetery, and saw all these orbs getting captured on the camera and stuff, and some of them were really big, and all of a sudden I looked below the grave and it had the name of the person, so I figured it was them coming through as well. So it's interesting what you get on cameras, and even in my house or even around certain people, family events, you catch orbs on there, which is very interesting.
So basically they have the ability to reach you wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, if you are in a cemetery, it kind of brings up a focus point for you. I guess that's what you're saying, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hanging around there all the time. For instance, at the Hollywood Hills Cemetery, they're just not hanging out there. Ghosts go everywhere. The spirits are everywhere, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I tell people, only, you know, a dear friend of mine, John Holland, he's a medium as well, and, you know, he goes, you know, AJ, he goes, one thing I always learned in my life was that only a thought away. And I go, you know what, John, that was, you know, a great way of putting it. You think of them, boom, they're there. And I tell him, you know, I tell him I feel that way too, because I always feel like if you think of them, our thoughts project out there. Whatever we project out to the universe, it will come back to them, and it will come back to us in 10 times full. So if you think of them, they'll hear us as well. No matter where you're at, you can be in Paris, and all of a sudden, they'll come to you.
AJ, I've enjoyed this show, and thanks for driving all the way over here to Laughlin from Southern California. I know you're going to have some fun while you're here at the Flamingo here in Laughlin.
Oh, absolutely. Greg ate some money, too. Had some money, too.
Now, of course, you are a psychic, so you don't have to take any chances as far as the casino is concerned, right? I think if I were you, I would just go straight to the Megabucks machine. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I wish, man. You know, but like I said, I can't abuse it for that way. And, you know,
a lot of psychics say they can't make any money with their gift. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. You know, money-wise, I think that...
No, I'm thinking in terms of betting on the horses, playing blackjack, roulette, you know, picking stocks.
Oh, no, not that way. No, I mean, the only thing is, you know, gut feelings, but not really hitting the lot or anything. Betting on horses, I wish. Yeah, here in Vegas would be a great time for me, or Laughlin.
Well, I was going to walk through the casino with you and ask you to help me pick out a machine, but after that... I guess maybe we forget it.
Well, I don't mind using your money, Jerry. I mean, I'll take your money.
AJ, I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
This didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.